You're listening to Rocky Mountain Review on 90.5 FM KCSU Fort Collins for Tuesday, March 26th. I'm Lee Zimpel, your news director.
And I am Tyler Weatherwax, your assistant news director. And we are the voices behind the Rocky Mountain Review news broadcast that airs every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
As always, we here at the Rocky Mountain Review strive to give you the most up-to-date, unbiased, and factual news. On today's show, Tyler will fill you in on some important events happening on campus and some changes at a state level that could impact CSU.
And a former Loveland police officer could be facing life in prison. This and more with Lee in local news.
Then learn about where Fort Collins sits in a list of the top beer cities in the nation and what events you can catch this week in Life and Events with Tyler.
Later on in the broadcast, learn more about a bridge in Baltimore that collapsed overnight and is now causing major distress for the area. In National with Lee. And with that, we'll get started with campus news. Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax, and this is your Colorado State University campus news. Students who attend universities in the state of Colorado sometimes may be faced with the issue of transfer credits when transferring to universities in the state. A new bill is being worked on in the state of Colorado that would update the state's Student Bill of Rights. The bill would require universities to be more clear about their transfer credit requirements and also give a report on transfer outcomes. These changes coming from the bill would also apply to Colorado State University. CSU already has a few paragraphs that go over transfer credits. However, this bill could require the university to add more detail to their website. This story comes from Colorado Public Radio. Here on campus, we saw some snow over the weekend, but there was some artificially made snow on the west lawn of the Laurie Student Center with warm weather outside. A group of students gathered as they saw skiers and snowboarders jump off of a snow hill and attempt to do tricks on a rail at the bottom of this miniature ski hill. Anyone walking by may have been very confused as what was going on. The event was the return of Rail Jam, which was the first time the university has seen the event on campus since 2009. The event was put on by the Associated Students of Colorado State University and provided the snow, DJ, food trucks, and more. The event was a way for student skiers and snowboarders to showcase their skills in front of other students. This story comes from the Rocky Mountain Collegian. Julia Ioffe will be coming to Colorado State University for Colorado State University's 5th Annual International Symposium. The International Symposium will be a time for people to come to the Laurie Student Center and will go over global topics of democracy and civic engagement in a global context. The International Symposium will also go over other topics such as climate change and environmental justice. Ioffe herself is a Russian-born American journalist who has written for many major publications such as the Washington Post and the New York Times. Her visit will be on April 2nd from 4 to 5 p.m. That's all for your Colorado State University news. Coming up next is Lee with your local news. Lee will walk you through changes that could be coming to Fort Collins' U+2 law.
In local news, a new mental health urgent care is set to open in Fort Collins as soon as next month. The clinic, called Live Health, will officially open on April 15th, and it will be just east of CSU's main campus near the intersection of LeMay and Riverside Avenue. The company, which is based in Wyoming, bought this newest space in Fort Collins earlier this year, and this location will be the company's second clinic once it opens. It'll be replacing a couple other smaller clinics that used to be in that same building, but it'll bring in a fairly big range of new services. The clinic will offer crisis counseling, intervention, evaluations, medication services, and more. Live Health says once they're open, they'll operate on your standard 9-to-5 schedule, Mondays through Fridays, and they'll be able to take walk-ins, so appointments can be scheduled but are not necessary. According to the clinic, they'll have staff with a range of expertise to help address a span of needs for people in a mental health crisis, ranging from depression and anxiety to targeting even more specific needs like sleep-related disorders or LGBT-related issues. The clinic says they'll accept most commercial insurance, and that includes Medicaid or Medicare. Fort Collins' U+2 policy might soon be banned, but the choice in this case is not up to our city council. It would actually be part of a statewide ban on occupancy limits, and Colorado lawmakers are expecting the proposed bill to pass. If passed, the Prohibit Residential Occupancy Limits bill would ban local governments from limiting how many unrelated people can live together in a home across the state. Right now, over 24 Colorado cities and towns have housing limits like U+2. bus too, and they'd all be impacted by the bill right alongside Fort Collins. The bill is currently making its way through the state house, and it's likely to get improved. From there, it would next head to Governor Jared Polis's desk, where it's expected he'll sign it into law. The bill is part of Democrats' goal to reform local zoning rules and to address the state's housing crisis. Senator Julie Gonzalez, a Denver Democrat and sponsor of the bill, says she and other senators recognize that Coloradans are struggling to make ends meet and that living with more roommates is the reality that is already happening across the state, despite current laws trying to limit that. And even though those kinds of laws can be found in communities across the state, Fort Collins is one of the few Colorado cities who actively enforce their housing limits. Our U+2 rule limits to a max of 3 unrelated people in a unit, unless that unit is explicitly cleared for more. Fort Collins policy and project manager Ginny Sawyer says the city has already been looking into how to raise its occupancy limits back when the bill was first proposed. She says the city has been trying to hear concerns from the public, including both those who support and oppose changes to U+2. Supporters say the bill could help tenants more easily pay high housing costs by sharing the rent with more roommates. In Colorado as a whole, there's both an affordability crisis and an availability crisis. Based on a recent survey, Colorado is short by tens of thousands of housing units, and nearly half of Colorado renters say they are worried they'd lose housing because of high costs. Even with many renters facing that kind of urgency, the bill still does not resonate with everyone. Some local governments oppose the bill, saying the state government is overreaching. Some are worried about the power shift when local land use decisions are made at the state level. This concern is shared across several Colorado cities who oppose the bill, and it comes from officials across both political parties. According to the Denver Post, Fort Collins Democrat Senator Joan Ginel says she opposes the bill based on a local concern that bumping up the limit could hurt the character of some neighborhoods, which drew in homeowners in the first place as quieter spots in a college town. Either way, the bill is expected to pass, and if it does, it would be the first official move in land use reform made this year. And lastly, a former Loveland police officer could now be facing up to life in prison for felony charges of sexual assault of a minor. 28-year-old Dylan Miller was arrested early November last year after being accused of sexually assaulting a 15-year-old girl while on duty, and he's since been federally indicted to face the possibility of a harsher sentence. Officials from multiple agencies were investigating Miller since his arrest, including the Larimer County Sheriff's Office and the FBI. Based on court records, the investigations have Miller facing at least 6 criminal charges, including first-degree kidnapping and unlawful sexual conduct by a peace officer. Denver FBI Public Affairs Officer Vicky Magoya says these federal charges he's facing that could put him behind bars for life are separate from the local charges he was already facing in Larimer County. Miller is scheduled to show up in court for those charges next month. Information for this story comes from the Loveland Reporter-Herald. Those were your local news updates. My name is Lee Zimpel. We'll take a quick break, but up next, you'll learn how the Fort Collins local beer scene ranks against cities across the nation and more with Tyler in Life and Events.
KCSU is supported by The Armory, supporting live and local music in Fort Collins. Upcoming shows include Kiltro with Nina DeFritas on Friday, March 29th. Tickets and info at armoryfoco.com.
Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax with your local life stories and events. Fort Collins has a lot of breweries and bars in the city, and that is seen at the national level. USA Today released a new survey that determined Fort Collins was one of the best cities of the top beer cities in the nation. The city has 20 award-winning craft breweries and produces 7% of all the country's beers. Fort Collins even beat out other major cities in Colorado, including, yes, Boulder. The city was ranked number 4 in the nation, ranking higher than cities such as Philadelphia, Indianapolis, and Jacksonville. However, the number 1 spot went to Grand Rapids, Michigan. This story comes from Colorado Fox 31. And if beer isn't your favorite treat to go grab in Fort Collins, a well-known donut shop will be opening up soon here in the city. Krispy Kreme's broke ground today on their new location. The donut chain has been eyeing Fort Collins for a couple of years now, and the time has come to start construction. The site of the new donut shop will be at 4624 South Mason Street and will be a drive-through location as well. The approval process took longer than expected, but the shop is now underway to open in mid to late November. This story comes from the Coloradoan. Some events happening in the city this week will see coffee with District Attorney Gordon McLaughlin Thursday. This event will see the discussion of the impacts of fentanyl in communities. McLaughlin will answer questions about how his district is working on the issue and general issues about the drug. The event will be at the Arboretum Coffee starting at 9 a.m. this Thursday morning. And for music, you can catch some very large-footed musicians performing at the Aggie Theater. You can catch Sax Squatch on Thursday night. The Bigfoot Rave will feature the forest creatures giving you some tunes to tap your feet to, even if they aren't as big as those on stage. The show starts on Thursday night at 8 p.m. That is all for your life and events section of the Rocky Mountain Review. Coming up after the break is Lee with your national news. Learn about a major bridge in Baltimore collapsing overnight.
This is Rip Phantom from the Olneys. For a spooktacular time, I listen to KCSU 90.5 FM.
And we are back from the break. My name is Lee Zimpel, and here are some of the latest national headlines. A major bridge in Baltimore collapsed early into this morning after a cargo ship lost power and crashed into it. Videos of the Francis Scott Key Bridge crumbling into the water spread on social media like wildfire moments after it happened. Cars and people fell into the water right with the bridge as it broke down, and now officials are continuing their search for survivors. So far, a hospital official says two people have been found and hospitalized, one of them being a construction worker, but six others, part of that same construction crew, are still unaccounted for. Their employer says they're presumed dead based on the water's depth and the amount of time since the collapse. The construction workers worked for the company Bronner Builders, and its executive vice president said, quote, "This was so completely unforeseen, we don't know what else to say." Officials say the cargo ship's crew issued a mayday call just moments before it crashed directly into one of the bridge's columns. Police say they were able to stop traffic on the bridge within a couple minutes of the call, but they were not able to notify the construction workers in time. As authorities continue their search for survivors, experts say the impact of the collapse will stretch even further. The bridge was a vital line in the hub for shipping on the East Coast, where ships carried cargo from Asia and Europe. For now, ships have to reroute around the tip of Africa. A supply chain manager says Americans, not just those in Baltimore, can expect some shortages of goods in the coming days. The Biden administration greenlit a new large offshore wind energy project just this morning, and it marks the seventh project of its kind in the United States. The project, called Sunrise Wind, will span 30 miles east of New York, and developers say the wind farm will power about 600,000 homes when it opens in 2026. The Interior Department says the addition of this farm means that the seven combined projects can make clean, renewable energy for roughly 3 million homes. The Biden administration says they hope to reach a goal of powering 10 million homes with wind energy by 2030, and officials say that today's approval was a big step towards a larger goal for clean energy in the U.S. Donald Trump has been facing a growing amount of legal bills from cases that have him owing money to New York for civil fraud or for a defamation case brought by E. Jean Carroll, who accused him of sexual assault. As the bills rack up, Trump is now selling a $60 USA Bible, and he's hoping his supporters grab a copy. Trump announced today on Truth Social his supporters could buy the God Bless the USA Bible, and the book is inspired by the patriotic song of the same name from country singer Lee Greenwood. As Good Friday and Easter near close, Trump wrote to Make America Pray Again. The book is Trump's newest business venture during his campaign. In the past, he sold Trump-branded sneakers, including a nearly $400 pair of Never Surrender high tops, and he's also sold NFTs. Last year, he reported he made up to $1 million from selling a series of digital trading cards. Trump's new Bible just reflects that he remains incredibly popular with white evangelical Christian voters, and they are part of his most key supporters. And lastly, I've got one more quick, lighthearted story for you here. The second largest chunk of the moon on Earth now lives at an airport in Maine, and today is the moon rock's first day on display. The chunk is bigger than a football, and it's on loan to the Portland International Jetport. Its exhibit is a next-door neighbor to some other samples of space rocks, including some of the world's biggest pieces of Mars. The moon chunk weighs a solid 94 pounds, and experts say was knocked off the moon by an asteroid. Now, for the next 5 years, the chunk will stay on display at the airport, and while it's there, the staff says jokingly that travelers in Maine can have a chance to visit the moon. That'll wrap up national news for now. Information for these stories comes from the Associated Press. Coming up, you'll get a quick look into the latest news coming out of CSU Sports. Tyler will give you that report when we come back from the break.
What's up? It's Sako, and you're listening to 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins.
Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax with your Colorado State University sports updates. CSU tennis took on Boise State here in Fort Collins as the two teams battled it out in two matches. CSU tennis took the win in both games with a score of 4-2 in both games. The games were single and double matches, and the two teams had an extra emphasis on the games as they share the same division of playing in the Mountain West. The two universities are nearing the end of their seasons, and these teams had to battle it out for a playoff spot and still need to if they want to make it to a postseason. CSU sports has also seen some disappointments as of late. The CSU women's softball team went winless in their Nevada series. The Rams played a doubleheader against Nevada and came up short in both games. The Rams lost the first game 4-0 and lost the second game 10-7. Nevada found success over the Rams by walking the Rams' best batters. The softball team plays again this Thursday as they take on San Diego State. And finally, another disappointment for Rams fans is the men's basketball team's loss in the NCAA basketball tournament. The Rams made it into the tournament by beating Virginia, and the team went on to play in the bracket but lost in the first round to Texas. After scoring only 11 points in 20 minutes, it was a rough first half for the Rams in the tournament. The Rams went on to lose the game with the final score 56-44, resulting in defeat. With the Rams coming into the game, they had played 5 games in 8 days, while Texas had not played in over a week. The Rams had a season to remember, though, as only about 10% of NCAA Division I teams make it into the tournament. Until then, Rams fans will have to wait until next season to see if they can make it back to the tournament and make it a little further. It won't be easy, though, as many star players such as Isaiah Stevens will be leaving as they graduate from CSU. That's all for your CSU sports updates. Coming up next is Lee with your Fort Collins weather report.
This week started off a little cloudy and a little cold, but as we get closer to the weekend, it should start to warm up back again. Tonight should be the last night, at least for a couple days, where we have a chance for snow. We'll see a 30% chance for some flurries, but that'll be mostly just between 9 p.m. and midnight. It'll be mostly cloudy out with a low around 23 and some light and scattered winds. The snow is not expected to stick much, if at all. Wednesday, it'll be a classic Colorado weather turnaround. It'll look a lot more blue tomorrow with a mostly sunny sky. It'll heat up to a high of 52 degrees. We'll see some wind tomorrow, and that'll include the occasional gust as high as 24 miles an hour. Then later on, some clouds will roll in Wednesday night, but it should stay clear in terms of precipitation. We'll see some of that wind from the daytime carry over into the evening, but it should feel slightly calmer. Thursday will ride a high of 62 degrees as the day stays partly sunny with some patchy clouds. It could be another slightly windy day. It should feel pretty similar to Wednesday. Thursday night will then cool off to a low of 34, and those clouds will get a little thicker as the sky becomes mostly cloudy. When we come back on Thursday at 4 p.m. for the next episode of Rocky Mountain Review, we'll go over the rest of the week's weather, including what you'll need to know ahead of this weekend. As always, information for today's forecast is based on a report from the National Weather Service. And that is all for today. We would like to thank Damian Castile for our amazing theme music. We'd also like to thank the rest of our staff here at KCSU and Rocky Mountain Student Media. We couldn't do this without you.
Finally, we couldn't do this without you, dear listener, so thank you. If you missed any part of today's show, you can find the RMR podcast on kcsufm.com under the news or podcast section. You can also find us on Spotify or anywhere else you listen to your podcasts by searching KCSU News. And with that, we'll see you next time.